Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and relationship coach at my private practice, the Couples Center, in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live every month or so on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight's 20 to 25-minute podcast titled Strategies for Living More Fully Amidst the COVID-19 Pandemic is a timely must for all of you out there struggling to stay afloat amidst this worldwide health crisis. I'll review some of the most pressing challenges we all face and share my thoughts about attitudes and behaviors to help you not only cope, but thrive during this pandemic. So stay tuned. If you've tuned into the studio live and would like to ask a question or to make a comment, just dial 1 on your phone and I'll be able to bring you onto the air. All right, let's get to it. The coronavirus pandemic is a crisis unlike anything we've ever experienced in our lifetimes, anything, including World War II, the Vietnam War, the Great Depression, and all the worst weather disasters on record. It's unlike anything before. It has had the most pervasive impact we've seen yet in terms of the international rates of illness, death, unemployment, social isolation, economic devastation, lockdowns on travel, and all services not deemed essential being locked down. Although not all of us have experienced the full impact of these developments, most of us have felt that all the usual social forms of connection, recreation, and celebration, like birthday parties, graduations, sports games, dinners out, vacation trips, concerts, and such, have been stopped. Many of our daily or weekly routines of self-care, self-indulgence, and social responsibility, like going to the gym, eating out, worshiping together, volunteering, visiting friends and family, helping sick loved ones, and attending funerals, have all been stopped. All in-person educational institutions have been closed, resulting in makeshift at-home schooling for our children who can no longer spend time in person with their peers, no longer participate in their normal developmentally crucial routines and activities, and now be returned to a regressive state of total dependency on their nuclear families. I see this a lot in my practice with couples. Parents who are fortunate enough to have maintained their jobs working at home have had to do double time as babysitters and teachers, now often working 15-hour days. So many of the parents I work with talk about feeling a pervasive sense of sheer exhaustion. Spouses, normally supported by friends, family, and daycare, who are in lockdown together, are forced to rely totally on each other with limited options for privacy and independence. So it forces a kind of symbiosis between spouses, and it's especially difficult and challenging for spouses who are already having issues with each other. Adult children are experiencing the anguish of not being able to visit and nurture their elderly parents residing in facilities. I have a number of clients who are unbelievably sad about this and feel a terrible sense of helplessness and guilt. They feel like they're abandoning their elderly parents, even though they know this is not their choice. I could go on and on and on, but I would boil it down to experiences of loss, uncertainty, sadness, anxiety, boredom, fatigue, helplessness, and disconnection. Those are just a few that I have thought of in preparing the show. There are more. Some of the results I see, and I think we're all seeing, are substance abuse, rapid weight gain, out of control online spending, overwhelming anxiety, depression, and marital crisis. People have lost faith that there's a future or that anything will change, and so people are reaching to soothe themselves in whatever way they can. So here are some of the things you can do to minimize the negative effects of this pandemic, to maintain connection with those you love, and to take the opportunity to do radical self-care. And in my mind, it's all about living in a totally intentional way. So I will go over 16 things, 16 attitudes and behaviors and coping strategies that would be more functional ways of meeting this pandemic than some of the other things I was just mentioning. Number one, maintain routines of daily life, like having regular meal times, taking a shower, getting dressed, paying whatever bills you can, returning calls and emails. Also, encourage children at home to do the same if they're old enough. Routine creates a sense of rhythm in life. It's very critical. And normalcy. Number two, do your best to get as much sleep as you need. And again, do your best. I'm aware that you're working with some limited options here, many of you. If you cannot do it all at once, use brief naps as a way to avoid exhaustion. 10 minutes is better than zero. Number three, get some form of regular cardio exercise to maintain energy and mood. Avoid all or nothing thinking. Remember, 15 minutes a day is better than zero. If the weather is lousy and you cannot do it outside, or if you're tending to small children and need to be around to do that, use the space in your home to move around or do some strength training. If you don't have home equipment, then use objects like cans of food for weight. Invest a few dollars on exercise bands you can easily buy online. I cannot stress the importance of this one alone. It helps maintain mood and energy. It literally changes the neurotransmitters in your brain. Number four, notice your thinking, especially toxic, catastrophic thoughts, using words like never and forever. Those are signs of it. Do your best to reframe hopeless self-talk into more affirmative self-talk, using words like I could, or I might, or I can, or I will. I'd like you to change the negative channel in your brain by nightly using a free guided meditation app like Calm. That will help. That will really help this cause. Practice daily gratitude acknowledgments. Keep a journal if that's helpful. Meditate. And don't make a huge deal of it. Don't be perfectionistic about it. If you don't know how to meditate, learn. It's much simpler than people think. You don't have to make it such a complicated thing. Meditation can really, really kind of straighten out your head and help you feel more centered and present. Number five, get into therapy if you need more support. Just accept that. You might need it. Most therapists are now doing video conferencing sessions in areas they normally don't have access to. You can also now more easily access prescribers if you need medication. So there's no reason now not to get into therapy. Most insurance will cover individual therapy. A lot of therapists are now they're sliding their fees, so it's more accessible than ever. And don't think that you have to be unsafe and go to an office somewhere where you're going to be faced with exposure. Most therapists are now doing video and phone sessions. Number six, counteract experiences of social disconnection by using free video conferencing apps like Zoom or Google Hangouts. Establish regular get-togethers with family and friends. Give yourself accessible social time to look forward to. And no, it's not the same as in person, face-to-face, but it's better. It's better than you just being alone or alone with your spouse and losing all connection with the people that you like and love. Also, number 7, arrange in-person socially distant visits with people in your inner circle, especially now as things are opening up just a bit. I would recommend that you have lunch on the deck if you have one. Meet for a picnic dinner in an open park. There are open parks. You'll find one somewhere. Arrange a tailgating brunch in a beautiful place. Meet with neighbors and your children for small, socially distant events. Be creative. You have to think outside the box here. Keep it clean and socially distant, and you'll feel better afterward. Okay, so don't use all or nothing thinking that I can't do it because it's unsafe. Find ways to feel safe doing it, okay? All right. Number 8, create zones of control and order to offset feelings of helplessness. Clean out a closet. Believe it or not, things like this help. Weed your garden. Prepare things you no longer need for recycling. Rearrange your pantry or your shelves. Balance your checkbook. Thin out your emails. These little activities of organizing can be very centering and can create an experience of order and some sense of what we call agency, the ability to take small, effective, make small, effective actions on your own behalf. Number 9, invest in the future. Okay, may seem ironic, but invest in the future. There will be a future. Learn a new language online. Trust that you will travel again sometime. Try to have faith that that will happen. Maybe not as soon as you like, but nothing lasts forever. Learn an instrument. Take out the guitar you've ignored. Play that piano which sits there. Buy an inexpensive harmonica or ukulele and make music. It will inspire and soothe you. I never cease to be amazed at how transformative music is. I know in my life, and I'm so surprised that more people are not using this as an opportunity to take up instruments, even small, simple ones. Take a class in a subject which interests you. Take advantage of the many inexpensive or free courses available. Expand yourself, especially as so many options in your life have narrowed down. So think expansion. One recommendation I would have is to check out the critically acclaimed course given, it's called The Science of Well-Being, and it's online. It's sponsored through Yale University. It's totally free, and it's hosted by Coursera, Coursera.org. I think it was voted the most popular course in the history of Yale, and the woman who gives it as the most popular instructor of all time. It's called The Science of Well-Being, and it goes into a lot of the neuropsychology, attitudes and behaviors that literally can change your happiness level. So do things like that. Number 10, be creative. Learn how to paint. Take photos and frame them. Start a journal or write some poems. Get out your recipes and improvise. Creativity is very transformative. It's totally immersive when you get in the zone. Do some things that will help you get in a creative zone. You're expanding yourself when you do that, and you're changing the channel in your brain. Number 11, give yourself indulgences to look forward to. Create a regular takeout night, trying different restaurants, so you create a sense of adventure as well. Let's try this, let's try that. Take a long bath. Have a movie night. Remember that anticipation neuropsychologists know that anticipating happy things or good things or fun things can literally expand the happy neural pathways in your brain, anticipation. Reminiscing also, but right now, reminiscing may be a little double-edged if you're thinking back to the good old days before the pandemic. So look forward and create things to look forward to. Number 12, limit your exposure to the news. I cannot be adamant enough about this. It's very anxiety-provoking. So pick the least emotionally triggering times to watch it. I would recommend you not watch it right before bed. It's not going to help you sleep. And tune into less sensational channels. My husband and I have been watching a local channel that's a lot more fluff. It's maybe not as substantive, but it goes into less gory details about the pandemic. We get sufficient information that we need, but not too much. Number 13, limit your exposure to emotionally triggering grocery shopping, another really important one. Only patronize stores which observe the CDC guidelines and shop as infrequently as possible. Don't be shopping every time you need some little ingredient and exposing yourself, to contagion and putting yourself in the company of other people who are oblivious to the fact that there's a pandemic going on and they don't even wear masks. It will enrage you. It'll make you feel helpless. You're at risk for getting into fights. And so limit your shopping and really focus on the stores that feel safer to you. Play by the new rules. Be responsive and responsible toward others and wear that uncomfortable mask. Check with the CDC. Listen, when you do listen to the news, you will hear that those are the guidelines. Wear the mask. It protects the people around you. Number 14, be intentional about whom you let into your inner circle and why. Carefully assess the risks and benefits of direct contact with those you love. So, yes, we are all getting pretty clear guidelines from the CDC, but recognize that ultimately whom you let into your inner circle, in your bubble, whom you expose yourself to is ultimately your personal choice. But be thinking about what would be the cost of social distancing with them versus the cost of seeing them. This is something I'm seeing a lot of parents and grandparents in particular wrestling with now, the thought of maybe for the next 3 years not being able to hug or touch their children and grandchildren feels like a worse possibility than getting COVID-19. So just recognize that ultimately the choice is yours, but make that choice carefully, not impulsively. Assess the risks and benefits. Number 15, get outside and into nature. It will soothe and expand you. If you live in a city, find open parks. There are parks everywhere. Go for drives if you have a car. Go for drives to beautiful places. Explore open areas you haven't yet visited. Let yourself have some fun. So immerse yourself in nature. One of the things that is so healing about nature is that, for instance, now it's spring at the time of this broadcast. It's spring, and what you see is that the earth is coming alive. The earth doesn't know there's a pandemic going on. It's very normalizing and very reassuring that things are coming alive. Things are bursting with life. Flowers are flowering. It reminds you that there are cycles. There are cycles. Not everything. Nothing is forever. Okay? It will be reassuring. You'll also, as you expand your repertoire of where you go outside, you'll allow yourself to have fun, create a sense of discovery. Number 16. This is a very, very important one. Help others in need. Walk their dog, mow their lawn, drop off some meals. The generosity will help your heart. It will help them, and it will give you a sense of agency, again, the ability to act effectively towards some goal, you'll feel like you're making a difference. We know that when people volunteer, when people help others, it expands their meaning in life. It expands their sense of fulfillment. It helps them feel like they make a difference. So especially if you're in a headspace that feels negative or depressive, or you're feeling hopeless or helpless, find someone to help. I'm sure if you look around, there are people in your life who could use your help, and you can do it responsibly in a socially distant way. So that's it. These are just some of the strategies I advocate, many of which I've been using myself to transform this pandemic from an experience of surviving to one of living, which is really important, one of living, okay? I hope this has been helpful to you and to all of you listeners out there, and I thank you for tuning in, all right? Take care. Bye-bye.